Are you two recording?
I am rolling.
Yeah, looks like it.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That was a good
one.
Hi.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was okay.
That's the voice of Larry Morgan right there, everybody. Just soak it in.
Hi, this is my voice.
Let it wash over you.
Wash.
Dem dare dulcet tones. The other guy croaking over there is Josh Fligger.
How you doing?
Ribbit. Larry Morgan and Josh Fligger are here, but Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Yeah, we didn't even mention him once last week. Did you mention that you are Andy Chanley, by the way?
I'm Andy Chanley. Hi, how are you? Yeah, this is like the Skull and Crossbones club, and over in the corner we've got the rotting bones of Sam Farmer.
he's become our mascot, our symbolic mascot.
Love you, Sam. Yep. Miss you. What was I gonna say?
By the way, he's pretty busy hanging out with like all the Mannings. Have you seen his picture on Instagram? It's like him and every Manning. They're just sitting there grinning in shorts, hanging out.
Do you know? Yeah. Is he doing anything with the Olympics?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Like getting COVID, maybe.
Yeah,
if he goes.
That's the last place I'd like to be right now.
Yeah. And for a while, I'm like, the people in Tokyo, I'm like, hey, you poor schlubs, you're going to have a Tokyo, another wave of the epidemic. Now I'm looking around here and
we got our masks smacked on us again all of a sudden.
Yep. So tomorrow is the first day. How long till you actually think you see someone have a meltdown that they have to wear a mask to go into the grocery store?
Almost immediately.
I am. I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm like, look, next time I go to the grocery store, I'm going to have my camera ready to roll so I can see that first person be like, well, what are you talking about?
Start wearing a chest camera like the police.
Everybody's been pretty good about it. Early on in the pandemic, when we were having a rash of that and there were a lot of videos getting posted, there was a woman who just stalked out of a Starbucks, completely gave up on getting her, you know, no foam, extra hot, whatever, blah, blah, caramel thingy in a huff because she wasn't wearing and she did not. But which is funny because she had already paid for it and didn't want to wait around and get it. Just slap a piece of cloth on her face to pick up her expensive coffee.
I saw some lady, and I want to say like 2 or 3 months in, and she was standing there, a younger lady, but she had like 3 kids, and the whole place was just staring at her, like shaking their heads, just everybody's like, I feel so sorry for your kids. She started calling on constitutional amendments that she was allowed to be here. It was just like, everybody's like, I just want to get my roast beef and get the hell out of here. Yeah.
By the way, no foam caramel blah blah thingy is going to be the title of this.
that's an apt description. Boy, it's too bad you already got those t-shirts made for the Yap Crap site that say something else, because that would be the perfect phrase for it.
Yeah, that's good. Here's the thing,
passed that by. Did you get the t-shirts made?
No, shut up, I did not.
All right. I think we were supposed to remind him, Josh.
You were supposed to remind us.
Oh, no, I knew that was a joke right off the bat. That's why I was laughing. Just like, move on to the next one.
the thing about the masks, though, it's like, you know, people with, I don't want my children wearing masks and having to do that. Look, if your kids are going to go to school and you need them to go to school so you can go to work, they got to do it. And why prolong this? I don't. It's already been a year and a half of my fucking kids wearing these masks. I want it done. Let's do it. Get it done and move past it. Instead, they're dragging it out for a fucking half a decade by doing all of this.
I know. Not to mention they're causing the microchip shortage for all of the microchips that go in the shots.
Right?
Oh, jeez, you're not helping, Josh. Not at all.
Sorry about that, world. I need to apologize for that one. That was not... there's no microchips in the shots. I can't believe I actually have to say this out loud. There's no microchips in the shots.
Although, doesn't that sound like something to be fun to go to a bar and have? I'll have one of the microchip shots.
Yeah, me and my dog have something in common. We both have microchips in our arms.
Yeah. Hey, to billboard what's coming up in this episode, it's pretty exciting. Today is the cowbell episode.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at you doing the old school quarter hour maintenance here.
resetting the premise. That's right.
Hey, we got any call-in contests happening later on? Maybe some concert tickets to give away? We got tickets to the OC Fair, seventh caller.
Actually, I got tickets for the big Biz Marquee show coming up. And,
okay, nice. Oh, we're going out to the traffic helicopter soon. Here real quick to... speaking of ribbit and croaking at the beginning, Josh, did I ever tell you, you remember K-Frog?
Yeah.
That radio station, K-Frog? I think I may have told you this before. My friend, Jeff Shamrock, who worked, he was Nipsey on the Jonathan Brandmeier show for when it was here in Los Angeles. He was his producer. But he worked at K-Frog for a while, I guess for Metro Traffic. And when you did it on K-Frog, everybody on K-Frog had to have a frog-based nickname.
Right.
And so
dumb.
Yeah. I know.
It was like that for years, man.
I'm hop along, whatever. And yeah. 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 And he went by Ribbit De Niro.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
No,
yes,
he didn't.
He totally did. He had another one, too. Amazing. I can't remember what it was. Ribbit De Niro. That's just absolutely great. But anyway, cowbell songs a little bit later on, courtesy of Larry bringing those together. And what's interesting, we won't talk more about it until we get to it, but I sent my songs to Larry, and usually he's like, oh, those are good ones, or oh, great. I have a feeling I might have stolen one of his favorites.
Oh, no, really? No, no. Literally, neither one of you got much of a response this week because it was, I mean, I realized today that Josh had sent his and I gave him nothing. I gave him nothing.
I said it like 2 days ago, and then this morning I get a thumbs up.
That's honestly, like, Andy,
well, I guess those suck.
One of those weeks where I didn't even have time to do an emoji back to anybody. It was that kind of week.
Wow.
Yeah.
What emoji would you ascribe to that feeling?
Frowny face.
Aw, sad crying guy.
Thumbs down.
Pile of sad poop.
Well, fellas.
Pile of sad poop. Is there a happy poop in there? I haven't looked in a while.
Sad poop is a runner up for this. It's a close.
I think I did one of those earlier. I did a sad poop earlier.
Sad poop emoji is now rising the charts for the name of this
video. Well, I think we should do, what was the first initial one? The one about the cup and then semicolon sad poop emoji.
Sad poop emoji.
No foam, caramel, blah, blah thingy, and sad poop emoji. Who did that song? Sad poop, turn the other way. I don't want to see you cry. Who was that?
Sad eyes. Who was that? Oh, man. See, that's exactly one of those that I normally would know and then be really mad that I know the name of that.
I don't even know what song you're talking about.
Sad eyes.
I played that on 45 on the radio.
Yeah.
That's how sad it is.
I know. I'm
going to. John.
Robert John. Wow.
Yeah.
Two first names.
It's kind of a generic name. Yeah, Bob John.
That's really got to be made up.
Yeah. It's a very British name.
Yeah.
Robert John. I'm Robert John. let's see. Fellas, I've got a couple of things to share with you. Number one, just a quick blurb. This last week, I took my last chemo-related medication.
Woo!
Yahoo! And oddly enough, it was Claritin.
Does that mean you drank?
You take the Claritin to alleviate the side effects of the Neulasta, which you take to alleviate the side effects of the chemo drugs.
Oh, good Lord.
So do you take...
Who swallowed the fly? I'm so glad to swallow the fly.
So do you take the Milwaukee NA to alleviate the effects of the Claritin?
Yeah. Oh, by the way...
And what do you do to get the taste out of your mouth of the or there is no taste in your mouth right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I asked Laura to slap my face as hard as I slap it till it bleeds. No, I've also weaned off the NA.
Good. Starting to get a little
I'm enjoying one or two of beverages A's. This week. No hard alcohol. I don't want to press my luck.
Right.
But a glass or two of red wine.
Nice.
A day and enjoying that lovely stress reliever.
There it's you go.
Good.
You're yeah. cool. It's been nice. Right oh, you'll there. Be a full fledged alcoholic again in no time.
I know.
Pretty soon it's going to be bourbon in the morning. You'll be right back where Andy we used to know.
Bourbon and hand farts. Andy's back to normal.
Lighting up a cigarette, having that bourbon in the morning to take the edge off.
Yeah,
things are, big hunk of luncheon loaf in the pan. That's our Andy. That's who. You'll get that cancer back in no time.
That's the Andy we know and love.
I regret to inform you, I did not get to the omelet this week.
Of course, you didn't.
But I'm going to. Someday. I'm going to. I swear I'm going to.
I still think that that's a reunion dish. I think it's just one of the things we do when we finally all get back together.
Thinking Andy's going to try something. He's going to try to do the impossible and see if he can maybe push this back so far that the luncheon loaf actually goes bad.
I thought you were going to say, Josh, that he waits so long that he actually is able to take it on a trip and cook it in his new customized van.
Oh,
that's where he makes it on a big camping
well,
trip.
Well, we never decided there was. He never said anything about a
and
stove.
And then
in there,
he poops it out in the portable shitter back in the back there in the shower pit shitter, the shitter shower, the shitter shower.
I'm not making hey,
Don't start. I shouldn't. I don't want to get you started again
Andy,
because we
didn't. Start this, Larry did.
The shitter shower is a great name for that setup.
You should get it spray painted on the side of the van.
Yeah, I should say we got zero suggestions for the name of the van or the project thus
shit,
far.
Shit shower is pretty good.
Yep.
That's pretty good. I got to tell you guys one thing. There's only been a couple of small things this last week as far as DIY things, home improvement projects. One of them, Josh, did I talk about this last week?
I'm sure.
My mind is gone. But I've been working on stuff nonstop pretty much for the last couple of years, right? From the shed.
Well, not the stairs.
On up until, you know, the most recent stuff, working on the steps and so forth, and fence gate, and gate. But, and gutter gate. But I finally got sick of my own filth and decided to organize the shop, the my workbench, that area, and go through and like pick up all of the dirt and the sawdust and all of the extra screws and all this, organize everything, put all of the tools exactly where they belong, a place for everything in its place. And Josh,
yeah,
you would shit if you saw my socket wrench drawer.
I was just going to say,
like, there's... I got organizers. I bought these cheap organizers and I put all of them in order. Like, I have every metric and standard
there's
or imperial, whatever you call it.
Strangely, awesomely satisfying about cleaning off your workbench and putting everything in its right place. Like, you almost have to take a step back when it's done and just take a deep breath and look at it and be like, oh, that's nice. That feels good.
It's amazing. Yeah. And Larry, I took an old set of speakers, and when we upgraded the home stereo thing in the living room, I took the old little cheap, you know, like $18 amp that I got off Amazon and the two speakers that it was powering. And I took those and put those out in the shop and bought a little $9 FM receiver.
Oh, nice.
And got that and plugged it into that and dialed in K-Earth for the perfect music for a workshop.
There you go.
I mean,
nice.
That's the kind of stuff you want to hear. You want every song to be a song you love. And it just be, you know, easy to listen to. So that is, and it reminded me of the days of, you know, working with my dad when I was, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 yeah. years old, out in his workshop, listening to WFMS in Indianapolis, hearing old country music, hearing Johnny Cash doing One Piece at a Time and right. all that shit.
Yeah, my dad would just turn the car on. And crank up the radio in the garage and just let it run.
Oh, good. Like
either that or run the battery down, just listening to the radio.
Had that carbon monoxide.
Open the garage door. It was, yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's healthy.
Uh-huh. That's funny. And my old man did the same thing. He when they were insulating the attic, he ran a bunch of wire underneath the insulation while he was there, and then ran that down to a central receiver in one room, and then ran speaker wires through all the walls in the house. So there was like four rooms that had speakers in them, and you could go to the central receiver, which had a record player and a cassette deck and everything like that, and put it in there, and then switch the channels to which room you wanted the speakers on. And I always thought that was a genius idea of putting the antenna through the ceiling of the roof of the house so you could get a better signal.
Yeah, yeah, pretty smart. By the way, I've got to do that this fall. I've got to do insulation in the ceiling.
Yeah.
It's funny you bring this up. Yesterday morning, I wake up and I hear the air conditioning running because my lovely wife, Laura, likes to do this. She believes, during these warm days in the San Fernando Valley, she believes in cranking the air conditioner way up so it's blasting out cold air, and being under a sheet and a blanket, a bedspread, and her weighted heavy blanket.
Wow. All right.
She like with the fan blowing on her, so she's got the air conditioning, the fan, and two blankets going at the same time. And I said to her on Wednesday, I said, we're going to burn out the air conditioner running it all night. It's just going to, there's no way in this climate.
Is it literally running? It never stops?
Basically never stops.
Oh, wow.
All night.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, this is, and it's, part of it's because the insulation in the attic is shit.
Oh, okay.
And I know that. But, and I was going to do that early this spring. I was going to get up there and do it myself, but cancer.
Excuses.
But so I wake up like yesterday morning and I hear the fan blowing, but it's like kind of warm in the house. It's not particularly cool.
Uh-oh.
So I walk down and I look at the thermostat, the Nest thermostat, and it has an error code on it. I'm like, oh, great. Great. And I look on the app.
Right at the end of July.
Yeah, the same error code's on there. Now, I've got a contract with the AC people.
Yep.
To, you know, every month I pay them $20, and they come out twice a year, and they check out my shit and make sure it's working. And then supposedly, if there's a problem, I go to the front of the line.
I get the same
for
thing.
Repairs, yep. And I get like 25% off the repairs.
Right.
Right.
And I think some of the parts are like lifetime warranty. You know what I mean? Some of the smaller stuff might have like a lifetime.
My parts won't be. These won't be.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I call them and I say, hey, I happen to have an appointment with you to do this on Monday to come out for the annual, semi-annual checkup. I've got an issue today, any chance of moving that up? And they said, well, even if we did, that wouldn't be to fix whatever's going on. It's a $97 fee to come out and troubleshoot what's going on with your system. I'm like, well, I know what's going on with my system. I need my Y wire is not getting juice. And they said, yeah, $97, which is the friendly, equivalent of the Goodfellas line, fuck you, pay me my money.
Fuck you, where's my money?
Fuck you, where's my money? Yeah. So anyway, they're coming out. I was on the phone with Google, you know, trying to do the troubleshooting on the Nest and flipping the breakers on and off and doing all of the whatever, you know, checking. So for whatever reason, and I went out and got new fuses for the condenser, to the compressor, to see if that was the issue and so forth. None of the easy fixes. They're going to come out. I'm not getting juiced to the Y wire. And
so you got no
tell
AC
me,
right now?
No AC. And it was hot as balls yesterday.
No.
And it's going to be hot as balls today. They're coming out sometime between 2 and 5.
But the AC works out in the studio, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's so nice out here.
Yeah, say, everybody's just hanging out in the studio.
Yeah, well, I wanted to come out here and sleep last night. Just going to lay down on the mixing board and sleep. Anywho, yeah, that all is happening today. So I'm just overjoyed that I get to, once again, paying for a maintenance contract that does dick.
Yeah.
That doesn't do it. I was talking to somebody this week, a guy saying, oh, yeah, I got the dishwasher's going out, but here in a minute, I've got the home home warranty people coming out to check it out. I'm like, oh yeah, I never bothered with that shit. I think it's a scam. I just don't think it ever pays. Well, he's like, oh really? Well, I've gotten 3 refrigerators, 2 full air conditioning units, a water heater, or this or that. Or what? And he's like telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but how much do you pay? He said, I pay $60 a month. I'm like, okay. <"What?" laughs> So over the last 15 years, you paid $17,000. To get back all this stuff. He's like, yes, but I've come out a little ahead because of this and that. But here's the thing. They'll come out and say, oh yeah, your dishwasher is not working. They'll replace it with the cheapest piece of shit they can buy.
Yep. We had that fight with a hot water heater. It still sounds weird after George Carlin's bit about, you know, it's a water heater. It's not a hot water heater. It doesn't start out hot. Anyway, the thing rusted out at the bottom, had a home warranty. It was covered. The first thing they did was bring out a refurbished water tank. What is that? What?
Wow.
It's like, wow. You could tell right away. It was just like they had pulled it out of some house somewhere or something, or it was just had it
was like some sticker from the 70s that said keep on trucking on it or something.
And sure, they ended up putting a brand new one in after we had got on the phone and yelled at them forever. It's like, no, there's nothing in the contract that says that you get to put in something that was in somebody else's home that just happens to still maybe still work. What's the point of that? You're going to come right back out again, who knows, in a couple of years and have to do it again.
I had a friend.
Yeah, we stopped buying those damn things.
Yeah, I had a friend who was a homeowner, and he bought a house, and I guess he just kept the home insurance that came with it. He just kept paying that.
I think in many cases, they give you a year when you buy your house.
It's usually part of the deal.
He had a skylight. It was one of those ones there was a little crank that would open up in the ceiling, right? And I don't think he ever opened it, but from one day, it just started leaking when it was raining. So he called these insurance, called and said, hey, I got a problem with my skylight. And it says here that you should cover that. And they came out and looked at it, and they said, no, we don't cover that. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's plainly right here. And then they're like, no, we, so they wouldn't fix it. So he reported them to the Better Business Bureau, and they immediately canceled his contract that I think I'm telling you, I think he like was paying for it. And they were like, no, we quit doing business with you. So yeah, and he called them up. He's like, your idea to fix this problem is to cancel my contract.
Here's what you do in a situation like that. And for whatever, you know, I don't know if it always works, but somebody really wrongs you like that, and they refuse to stick to their word. You say, okay, I'm going to make a claim with the small claims court, and I'm going to have someone else get paid to fix this issue, and we'll move on. And at the very least, it's going to ruin somebody in your company's day, because they're going to have to spend the time either adjudicating this, you know, going to court and answering to it, whatever. But I got the spare time that I'm going to at least make this stink.
They pretty much count on you not having any sort of
recourse.
Yes, and not sticking with it to the point where and that for me just eggs me on, because I will spend all day on the phone. I'll let myself get behind in work if I can just stay on the phone with somebody until I get to threaten legal action and I can start sound like I know what I'm talking about, you know, quote who my attorney is and have enough research done where I can start talking about the legal process like, oh, I've done this before. Of course, I've never done it before because they usually give in. But that it would take that much to get people to respond is the thing that frustrates me the most, that you have to get that far with it.
We did a small like week tour up through Northern California one time, and like the Friday, Saturday, we were doing the Friday, Saturday at this one club and then coming back on that Sunday morning. And we get to the gig on Friday and we play it and it sucked and it was terrible. But this guy, like he signed a contract. Like Grant's pretty good at all this stuff. So he had him sign contracts and everything.
This is Alabama Hall of Fame member Grant.
So the next day we show up, the first gig's terrible. And the next day we show up and there's no band, there's another band that's playing, and there's just nobody there. And we're like, you know, are these guys opening up for us or what? And he's just like, no, we're not paying you for tonight. And Grant's just like, well, I have contracts and I've got emails. And, you know, one of the reasons this was a good paying gig, we did this whole tour. We need this money to pay for our hotels and stuff like that. And he's just like, sorry. So Grant was so pissed. He went back, took him to small claims court, went up and he flew from LA. He paid more to do this than actually the money that was we were going to make. So he bought a ticket, went up, did this small claims court thing, and then went before the judge and everything like that. And he said, you have to present the evidence to the other party. And the guys, he's like, here's all the emails, here's the contract. And the guy's just like, okay. So he went in, they ruled for him. He came back and I'm like, well, did you get the money? And he's like, no. And I'm like, you know, that guy's never going to give you the money. And he's like, I don't care, because now that guy can't sell his bar until he pays me, because they will put like a lien or something. If he has a small claim, if he has issues like that, he can't sell the bar until he actually pays me. So he's like, I got that guy in my pocket if he ever wants to sell that bar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear one of my favorite rock and roll stories of all time is about Twigs Linden? You ever hear about him?
No.
No. Twigs Linden. I'm sure that there's part of him in Almost Famous, in the road manager in Almost Famous. Twigs Linden was the Allman Brothers road manager in 1970 on the tour that they're on that's gonna, you know, bring them into the big time. And they're going around the country playing, and they're, you know, they're doing the Fillmore East and all this stuff. The Allman Brothers are on the cusp of international superstardom. And Twigs Linden is their road manager. Well, they play this show at this place in New York, upstate New York. They play this show, and the guy that owns it, Angelo Aliotta, he owns this place. And after the show, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to pay you because you were a half hour late or whatever the issue was. He says he's not going to pay. Twigs Linden takes out a knife and stabs the guy to death.
Oh, jeez.
Stabs him to fucking death right there on the spot. Jeez. He's arrested, goes to jail. His court trial comes up, and his lawyer argues in court, in a court of law, that being the road manager for the Allman Brothers is so stressful and weird and crazy that it drives you insane. And he was insane at the time that he did that because of the Allman Brothers and the band and their behavior. And they get, what's his name? Was it Dickie Betts? They get one of them on the witness stand. And the lawyer is asking him, he's like, have you had drugs in your life? He says, oh, yeah. He said, have you had drugs in the past year? Yes, sir. Have you had drugs in the past calendar month?
Mm-hmm.
Are you on drugs right now? You betcha. Twigs Linden is acquitted due to this argument. He's freed. The judge rules in his favor that, in fact, the jury finds that, yes, being the road manager for the Allman Brothers is so fucked up that you killing someone is a natural outpouring of that. What's weird is, if that's not weird,
he did it again.
Like, no,
same thing. Well, free pass.
Exactly.
Like,
7, 8, 9 years later, he is skydiving. Not like, you know, within 50 miles of the town where that happened. And I guess his chute doesn't open and he falls to his death.
Oh, jeez.
What a crazy bastard that is. Twigs Linden. One of the greatest rock and roll stories of all time. Pretty great stuff.
Wow. Somebody's got to make a movie about that guy.
Right? Well, the road manager in Almost Famous has a little bit of that. Like, yeah, when they ram through the gate, you know, because they don't get paid at that one gig.
Black Sabbath gig.
Yeah, they decide to he goes, you guys want to buy a gate? And they just blast through the, remember that? Yep. That scene in Almost Famous?
Sure.
So there's a little bit, I think that Cameron Crowe amalgamated a little bit of him into the story. Cause there's some, you know, cause aren't we supposed to believe that, what's his name? Russell, that he's a Dwayne Allman-y kind of guy. Yeah. He doesn't sing, but he's a guitar player that's kind of a virtuoso who is, all, you know, is much better than the band that's around him and so forth. I'm not saying that that was the case with Dwayne Allman exactly, because his brother, you know, was quite good on the organ and quite a good songwriter and singer. But yeah, there was a little bit of that going on. Mm-hmm. Anywho's, speaking of rock and roll.
Oh.
Larry.
Yes.
It's time. Fellas, to my ear, it needs more cowbell.
I could have used a little more cowbell.
Ah. That's it. There we go. Much, much better. Ah. Larry, the floor is yours. It's time for cowbell song.
Excellent. This is our musical segment this week. We just went right back into the archives of the good old 10 at 10 from 100.3 The Sound, and also a reflection of, at one point, a piece of merch that we had that actually T-shirt. Had the Sound logo on the front, and it
That's
said,
right.
less talk, more cowbell on the back.
I think I still have one of those.
Have one. Yeah.
Wow. You were still working there then?
I came up with the idea.
did you? Yeah.
They actually, it was the only time in the entire time I worked at the Sound that somebody actually listened to what I said and did it. Maybe if they had done that more often. Anyway, so I'm going to be first
but
up.
But he's not bitter.
So this is songs that feature cowbell. That's you don't need any more explanation than that. And I'm going to start with one that prompted this whole idea when I brought it to you guys is because I was listening to this song and in the middle of it, I went, well, that's some virtuosic cowbell playing. And I am going to start it right in the middle where it struck me. And you'll certainly know this song almost immediately.
Yeah.
Nice.
Big star in the street. God. I smile every time I hear this song. It just, there's a feeling to it. There's a vibe to it. There's like a summer thing going on. And then that rattling cowbell in there.
I swear to God, I love Big Star.
I am too.
A huge, huge Big Star fan. And until this moment, I never cogitated that there was cowbell in that song. I know the song inside and out, but cowbell is typically something that sticks out at me, and it's almost like the needle scratch. And I'm like, where, you know, why is that in this song? It kind of dates the song.
I kind of felt the same way.
I forgive it entirely with this song. They get a pass because they're so fucking awesome.
I do the same thing, Andy. It didn't occur to me until that one time when I was driving in the car and I was like, oh my God, I know that sound has been there the whole time I've heard this song, and it struck me exactly the same thing.
Wow.
And if anybody hasn't explored Big Star, you know, it's one of those bands that now has gotten to the point where you're suddenly like a hipster for liking them or whatever, because they've gotten, their reputation has grown over the years, but that's largely due in part to bands now who will talk about what a huge influence basically those first two records were on them and how influential that was for a band that barely got heard. It's kind of crazy. And there is an amazing documentary on Big Star if you want to seek, if you like music documentaries. It's pretty incredible.
It's really, really good. What is it? The number one record and Sister Lover or whatever. Those first two records, just amazing. It's like songs like Ballad of El Gudo and 13 is just great. The finger pick guitar on there. It's just amazing.
I've never listened to this band. I have to check them out.
Seriously?
You will? Yeah. No, yeah. I've never. Wow. What's an album to start with?
The first one. Just go. I mean, there's really only technically three, and the first two are the ones that where the band is mostly intact, and there couldn't be, if you watch this documentary, Josh, you don't need to know anything about them. It's the bad luck and the wrong turns and the negative things that happened consistently to this band that was literally going to be the next big thing. There was every indication that they were going to be huge. Huh. They literally called their record number one record, their first one.
And their band was called Big Star. I mean,
Alex Chilton is a name you probably know, Josh.
I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Oh yeah, he was you know, one of the biggest contributors early on.
That gives me something to listen to. I love it.
It's actually number one record in Radio City.
Radio City.
Yeah, what year are we talking here?
72.
71, 72. Yeah.
It's so good, Josh. And you know, Alex Chilton, Alex Chilton before he was in Big Star, he was 15 years old in the late 60s as the singer of the Box Tops. Yeah. Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Oh, wow.
And yeah. That's not even what his voice sounds like. The guy who was producing the record made him sing that way. So it was right. Like, and he just, and as soon as he could get out of there, but both from Memphis. I mean, they recorded Box Tops recorded that song, I think, in Memphis. And
yeah,
it's one of the few rock bands that came out.
I want to check it out. Memphis. I've been dying to listen for some new
and
music.
If you don't have Big Star, you don't have REM and The Replacements. You know, Big Star is as much an impetus for those two bands as Velvet Underground ever was.
Yeah. Cheap Trick references them. Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl remembers that record distinctly from... growing up, he found it, and it was a big, yeah. I mean, so many bands we'll talk
September,
about.
September Girls. September God, what Girls. A great song. Yep. Oh, the Bangles covered in the 80s as well.
Indeed.
And did pretty well with it. But yeah, oh, yeah, do yourself a favor. Well done, Larry.
Yeah, cool. But Josh, you're up, and I got, we're going to, are you ready? Hey, listen, are you ready to rock Toronto? It's not Kiss.
Like Larry had a super busy week and just never even thought about it until I want to say, like, I think, did I send the songs on either Thursday or
yesterday,
Friday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Okay, well, I think I was like just laying in bed like, oh my God, I got to start thinking of these cowbell songs. And this one was the very, like, as soon as I just heard, I heard a cowbell sound in my head. This was the very first song that came to my head. So go for it. It's just right there in your face.
Loaded like a freight train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great Guns N' Roses.
Nice.
That's what you don't hear a lot. No. Man.
Yeah, that was just immediately was like, I'm like, okay, what jumps out? And I just heard the opening of that song. I'm like, okay, that's one. I got to go with that one.
You just made another one pop in my head with the tink, tink,
that's
tink,
the,
tink.
That's when I think of cowbell. That's all I hear is just the same tink, 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 tink. Like even hearing the cowbell in the last song, like I would have never even thought that was a cowbell because all I think is tink, 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 yeah. Tink.
Well,
tink,
that's because there is another song in this bunch that does that exact thing. That's the way Working for the Weekend by Loverboy starts.
That's the one that popped in my head. I didn't want to say it in case it was one of the ones you had chosen.
It's not. That one's pretty obvious because it's just so front and center. But yeah, that's the way some of these other songs get started. By the way, it may sound like in some of these songs, there's like the drummer is a little off in the timing. For some reason, there's a weird lag in the beginning of these that in the recording process. I don't understand why, but it sounds like they kind of missed the beat a little bit. And I was like, you wouldn't have kept that on the record if he had fucked that up. So you're going to hear it again here in a little bit.
Well, Steven Adler wasn't that great.
Wow.
That's why it only lasted a record and a half.
Actually, yours, I've got the beginning of yours, the first one you sent me, Andy, and it is basically the same thing, just a slightly different sound. Is
this the newer band or the older band?
This is the newer band.
The newer band. Oh, God. This is cowbell fucking personified. You ready for this?
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age. God damn, that's so good.
Thank you for picking this one because I don't think I've heard this song in such a long time and it made me so happy I listened like all the way through because I was waiting for that hook and it was like, I got to hear this again. I got to hear this whole thing.
And the guitar part, ee-wee, it's just so awesome. Josh Homme is freaking amazing on that one.
Did we say the Guns N' Roses song was Night Train, by the way? I don't know.
Night Train.
Night Train, yeah.
All right. But he actually, what's interesting, I mean, you know about this song, right? That when they performed it on television.
No.
One of the great things that happened out of playing this song on Saturday Night Live.
I remember this.
Is that the guest host that night was Will Ferrell. And about halfway through this song, he comes out in
that outfit. In
the same outfit that he wore in that Blue Oyster Cult sketch and played cowbell on stage with them for half the song.
That's so good. Oh, God. All
right. Well, I think that's it, guys, right?
It doesn't work for me. I gotta have more cowbell.
All right. All right. Then we'll move on to mine. And mine comes, I had to start, so I wish I could have kept the whole intro, but we would have been here literally forever. So I cut into the beginning of this song, and I think it, to me, it's one of the most interesting and kind of esoteric, but still almost obvious ways to use cowbell in a song, not only for keeping time, but about time.
Oh, hey, Chambers Brothers.
That's two cowbells.
Oh, yeah.
Is that two?
Yeah, they've got different pitches going on there.
It feels like it's rotating back and forth between two cowbells.
Yeah, it's obviously replicating the sound of a clock. And, you know, and later on in the song, in the extended, you know, album version, you know, and it slows down and time slows down. It's like an amazing song. And such a song of an era. Like, really, anytime a movie uses this, it's like, I'm good with it because it's like when a needle drop in the right movie in the right moment is incredible.
And, is that 68 for that one, I think?
I think, yes, actually, that's about right. And I want to mention, I just got about halfway through it this morning, Questlove's new documentary about the Harlem Summer of Soul Festival. 1969, same year as Woodstock, there was a multiple-day festival in Harlem in New York City that drew somewhere around 300,000 people, and nobody knows about it. Questlove didn't know about it. He found out about it from someone who had access to all the footage that was shot that day, and nobody has seen it. It got tucked away, and it was never shown. And this was multiple days, and I've only gotten through halfway through the documentary. Stevie Wonder performing, the Fifth Dimension goes up there. The Chamber Brothers are up there doing their shit, and the lineup is phenomenal. Wow. And this footage is beautiful, and the sound is incredible, and all these performers are amazing. And it's a sea of black faces, most of them dressed to the nines, like they were going to church, and no violence, no eruption of anything. It was just this incredibly, and nobody talks about it. And it makes Woodstock look like just a filthy, dirty, nasty mess. And it's just this incredible thing. And I think Summer of Soul, I think it's called, and there's a subtitle to it. And it's on Hulu right now. So
that sounds awesome.
It's incredible.
Yeah. That song's still going on, by the way. It's like 11 minutes long, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still there. And that cowbell's right up front. All right, Josh, your turn, man. And, what else are you going to do?
Like I said, this was, like, when I think of cowbell, I think of gonk, 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 gonk. And I couldn't think of any a second song, so I Googled cowbell songs, right? And then when I saw this, I was like, I don't think there's a cowbell in there. And then I listened to it and I was like, oh my God, there's a cowbell the whole way through the song. And I've been listening to this song. This is like one of the first songs that I, you know, like owned on cassette. So I've been listening to it forever. And I was, as soon as I put it in and listened to it, I was like, oh yeah, I got to pick this one. So go for it.
Yeah. About the only time there's not cowbell in the song is literally just the first 2 seconds. And that's it.
Yeah.
Ask the girl what she wanted to be. She said, baby, can't you see?
That's Paul playing it, by the way.
I want to be famous, a star of the screen.
Oh.
But you can do something in
Oh, is it the left-handed cowbell?
Yeah, but he's still air cowbell. I had to switch. Yeah.
No, but I mean, you play it left-handed, but you still play it right side up, uh-huh. or upside down. Yeah. You play it upside. Yeah.
You,
I don't know.
You tune it backwards.
That's right.
No, I don't know if that was Paul.
I monoed that out because I find those. I have no idea in the process if you know it's going to screw up one of the tracks or whatever. So I monoed that out. But in listening to it. You know, in that this is the old school full separation, you know, that I was listening to. It was a four track recording. And so they, you know, they had things separated left and right channel. And it occurred to me that the cowbell was completely recorded separately on a different track.
Oh, wow.
It was all, I mean, it was with the vocals. Basically,
right,
one side, Ringo's drumming and tambourine were on the other side. So it was interesting. Somebody just sat there for 3 minutes, just banging that thing in time. Ringo just standing there, clunk,
that's
clunk,
awesome.
Clunk. Good one though. Couldn't be better.
Andy's up.
Are we done? Are we done?
Guess what? No,
what?
I got a fever.
Uh-huh.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
All right. Well, then, Andy, you're up. One more.
those 10 and 10 drops.
It's still one of the greatest sketches of all time.
It is.
It still
really
made
is.
Me laugh.
It wouldn't be as funny if his shirt fit.
It's I think that's what was so funny.
I know. The shirt is what makes it. Is his shirt is just like an inch and a half too short.
Yeah. And bare midriff.
Yeah. Well, there are three completely distinctly different things that make that sketch what it is. And one is Will Ferrell just going for it.
Yeah.
I think that it was one of those sketches that they were pretty sure was going to bomb. So Will Ferrell, who is fearless, has his shirt halfway up to his like rib cage and is... When he's playing that cowbell, he's all over the place. He's bumping into people. He clearly is trying to screw
and
them up.
It progressively gets better every time they go through it. So by the end, I mean, he's Angus Younging on this cowbell. You know what I mean?
And
he's
then two, if it hadn't been Christopher Walken as that character with that delivery, nobody would have remembered those lines.
No. Exactly. It's so true.
Because it's just got that weird hesitation to it.
For me, fellas.
Wow.
Well, cowbell. I mean, it's like just, nobody would have said it that way. And the third thing is one line out of Chris Kattan's mouth makes everybody fucking laugh because clearly he decided also he was going to join in on pushing the envelope of everything that was said. And he had one thing to say, and it was something like, yeah, don't screw us. Don't screw this up for us, Dan. And that's what makes Jimmy Fallon have to hide his face immediately.
He
makes Will Ferrell laugh. And it was Chris Kattan just screaming out, don't screw this up for us, Dan. Oh, God. So good.
So good.
All right. Final one. And this.
All right.
Oh, this is good.
This is a great one, man. And, you know, I had forgotten that I thought this was an American band. This is not an American band. They're from England.
Yeah, they
from
are English.
Stafford, England.
I was surprised to find that out, too.
But it doesn't get more American sounding than this one. Lay it on us. It's time to climax.
When I kept on looking for a sign in the middle of the night.
Oh.
But I couldn't see the light. No, I couldn't see the light.
So funky.
Kept on looking for a way to take me through the night.
Night.
I still love this freaking song.
This is just white boy funk right there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's just
good stuff.
I mean, that's disco era, so it's got a little of that element to it. But I will tell you that this one is one of those sense memory things. All this does is put me in the Odessa roller rink where they bring the lights down. They get the like disco ball style lights going on and real low, and some really cool dude in there is doing that kind of swing skating roller skating to the beat, and I'm like, I at that moment I wanted to be that guy so bad. Had a flared bell bottom jeans on, had the long hair, had his shirt unbuttoned down to his navel, and to me he was the coolest dude in the world. And that song was playing, it was just like I want to grow up to be that guy.
I challenge you to listen to that song and not do the white boy overbite and be like,
"Oh yeah, man! Yeah,
didn't you
yeah.
see me? I was just doing it. Didn't you see me on the
stage? No, I know you can't. I'm saying you just can't do it. You have to like stop yourself and like be aware that you're doing it because you're like,
no.
So good. And Average White Band is the other one that I think of when it comes to white funk.
Yeah,
they're actually from Scotland. They called what they did Mick Funk. So good. Well done, Larry.
Yeah, good
hats
job.
Off
that
to Larry
fun.
Morgan. Thank you for aggregating those. That was a hoot.
Super duper fun. And that's one we could go back to many, many, many times.
Let's do it next week.
Okay.
Well done, Lawrence. I really appreciate you putting those together for us. Fellas, we've come to the end of the episode.
It is. Right. It's that time.
You know, I don't want people to think that we're splitting up one episode into two because people would think we're cutting corners.
That's mailing it in. We don't do that here.
We don't do that kind of thing, do we?
No, we just take weeks off. That's we don't work that hard.
So that's absolutely not what's happening now.
Nope.
I'm gonna change shirts for the next episode.
No, but I have a hunch that in the next episode we're going to have people's phone calls that we didn't get to from last week.
Oh, that's a good idea to remember for next week, Andy.
For next week.
We just let the fun get out of hand this week and we lost track of time.
That's right.
So we're going to get to this stuff next week.
It's important to tell people if they do want to make a phone call, they can call the YAF line.
Yes.
That YAF line number is 626-657-6428 or amuck PM hat. Is your mnemonic device.
Or if you find that impossible to remember because that mnemonic device sucks, you can always email us yourartificialfriends@gmail.com with your thoughts and your cowbell songs and your well wishes and your praise.
And your food court ideas.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, we got none. Zero.
All right, never mind.
How can people get a hold of you, Josh?
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
And Larry.
JoshuaJFlieger@gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram @TheLarryMorgan.
I am available at Twitter, Andy_Chanley, on the Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley, or on Instagram, Andy Chanley. All one word. And you say it fast and lowercase.
You can find him on Instagram @OamuckPMChanley.
GDGDGDGD.
People that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast. We're not.
How's that last line go?
We're your what? Did I do wrong?
You're my. We need to do the whole episode over. I
let's play two.
That's one thing that's not going to happen.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.